Now today we are into our 11th why, and why God expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Now last week we saw that God provided the clothing to cover them. I talked to you about that as grace, as special grace. Now we come to the next part and we are puzzled. No, God covering and it looked like everything is good, but God expelled them from the garden. Why did God do that? Now, you and I, we are so accustomed to the logical thinking of cause and effect, input and output. In our mentality and method, these kind of logical thinking is woven into our life as a fabric. We cannot deny to think in the terms of cause in effect. Let me give you some examples of both positives and negatives of cause and effect in our daily lives. Cause, you decide to go to bed 1 hour earlier than usual every night. Effect, you wake up naturally earlier, leading to higher focus during morning hours, reducing caffeine dependency, and creating a virtuous cycle. Good. Cause, you habitually grab special deals or even small items every time you shop, even in a convenience store. Effect, the cumulative total causes a budget deficit, preventing you from hitting your long-term savings goal. Effect. Cause, when someone cuts you in traffic, instead of bursting with anger, you choose to think, hey, that person must be in very rush and haste. Effect, your adrenaline levels stay low, allowing you to arrive at your destination in calm state instead of stress. Cause, you spend minutes or even hours scrolling through social media or news feeds in your bed. Effect, the blue light suppresses melatonin, ruining your sleep quality, and you wake up with poor decision making. Cause, you leave small chores for later because they feel trivial. Effect, such procrastination accumulates into a mountain of work. The visual clutter makes you feel overwhelmed and paralyzed when you finally start to do things. Cause, when you feel pressured or upset, you reach for high sugar snacks or processed comfort snack as a quick fix. Effect, you experience a dopamine spike followed by sharp blood sugar crash. And it leads to a cycle of fatigue, weight gain, and a decrease in self-esteem over time. I mean, we are immersed to live our life, to view our life, and interpret things in our life as cause and effect, input and output. We're led to view and think like that. And with that understanding, that mentality, when we see this passage, where God drives them out from the garden, what we come to the conclusion is that that's a punishment. They've done wrong, they disobeyed God, therefore they deserve this to be expelled from the garden. Consequences for their rebellion and disobedience. God's wrath and his holiness demand judgment and consequences of their actions. We arrive at a logical conclusion and conclude that the situation is a seemingly right for their actions. Yes, they deserve it. It is God's punishment. However, such thinking misses another important area, another side of God, God's grace. Yes, forcing Adam and Eve out of the garden is due punishment for what they have done. And it was God's grace to drive them out. Yep, you heard me right. It was God's grace to drive them out from the garden. Kicking them out into a cold reality where they have to sweat and deal with thorns and thistles that they were cursed. The ground was cursed. a cold reality having to work their tail off to just to survive. What kind of grace was that? It was God's marvelous act of judgment and grace, two things coexisting at the same time. So let me explain this coexistence, this dichotomy, the paradoxical paradigm where God punishes and God gives his grace. Number one, to expel them was God's punishment. Yeah, first of all, if we look and try to understand this banning Adam and Eve from the garden with an approach from what we're familiar with, there's cause and effect, input and output. This is a definite punishment. I mean, no way to deny that. Why? Because sin breaks. Sin destroys. The essence of sin is to separate. Sin played a decisive factor that interrupted this intimate fellowship with God. In the garden, they were together. God, Adam and Eve, they were intimate together, but the sin came in and it had to be separate this from holy and sinful. God cannot withstand sin. God cannot condone sin. God cannot allow sin. So it is only logical to separate sinners from God. God's holiness demands that. Sin breaks and destroys and has consequences, and leading to a visible, a highly visible result, separating them from God. Now, I have a picture here. Separating them from garden is signified a breakdown in the intimate relationship with God. When the relationship with God was severed, when that was cut off, Adam and Eve, they were cut off from everything they had. All the goodness from God is over. All the abundance from God is done. No more. The security that God provided them stopped and terminated. All enjoyable work and good things that they enjoyed, all now gone. By expelling them from garden, God's holiness was preserved. You see, driving Adam and Eve out from the garden, it was a punishment. Their dignity, their security, abundant blessings, and an intimate fellowship, all gone, terminated. Undeniably, it was due punishment for what they have chosen against God's prohibition and God's warning. Now, we come to the second part. To expel them was God's grace. Well, the punishment was not the whole picture. There's more. What we observe in the passage, it leads us to understanding of wonderful, wonderful grace of God. Now, you might be thinking, well, didn't you just say that it was a punishment of God? That was a definite punishment that they were, you know, kicked out of the garden? Yes, of course. It was punishment, but at the same time, it was a wonderful grace of God. Yes, that's right. It was like clear that God punished them. But notice, when they were banned, there were two things that God did, that God pronounced no more eternal life for them. You are kicked out, and no more eternal life for you. And then God placed an angel with flaming sword, you know, moving back and forth so that there was no possibility of re-entrance to the garden. Now, that doesn't sound like grace at all. I mean, no eternal life and no re-entry to the garden. How is that God's grace? Well, we'll look into it. Number one, grace number one. No eternal life. This is what Genesis 3:22, our passage we read, says. He must be not allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. As they were kicked out of the garden, this is what God pronounced. Hey, in the garden, they enjoyed to eat the fruit of tree of life. Therefore, they were able to live eternal life. Now that they have become sinners, hey, you are going to be kicked out, and you have no ways that to continue to eat that free tree of life. Now, we're not really sure what eternity is. We can only understand figuratively. Eternity is something opposed to temporary. Eternity is something that does not end, but it continues and continues. But we really don't really have an understanding of eternity. But eternal life, it must be good. Why? In the garden, there was a presence of tree that gave an access to eternal life. But God, when they have sinned, stopped this. They banned this. No more eating of this eternal tree, of this tree, forbidding them, stopping them to eat from the tree of life. Now, what is that good? How is that a blessing and grace? If Adam and Eve remained an access to a tree that gave eternal life, they have sinned, and to live eternally will put them in eternal misery. Think about this. You cannot die. With a sin state, you have sinned, and to live eternally, you would have pains, sufferings, agonies of sin eternally and eternally. God wanted to stop them. And in God's grace, God wanted to spare us from that eternal suffering. God wanted to spare us from eternal misery. To live eternally in a fallen and corrupted state means that there is no hope, no hope of changing what we are. As sinners, to live eternally means that we will suffer eternally the consequences of sin forever and ever with no stop. In other words, because we were blessed to die, you heard me, because we were blessed to die, because God graciously placed a stop to our physical body, we don't have to suffer eternally with sin. We have a doorway, a possibility to change that eternity. What we have done to us eternally, it can stop. There's a doorway, an opening of this opportunity to change what we have done to us. Death is God's grace to put a stop to infinite misery. Physical death became a mechanism through which the old self that we, our sinful nature, can stop. And through the transforming power of Jesus, we can be resurrected, we can have transformation, we can have eternal life through the change of Christ. God made it possible for us to eventually be reborn and resurrected into a perfect, sinless state because there is death that ends our life. So physical death is God's grace because it opened and served as a doorway to our redemption. Because we were able to die, God has sent his son Jesus so that we can believe in him to be changed, redeemed, and have eternal life. Death is God's grace. Number two grace. there's no entry back to the Garden of Eden. This is what Genesis 3:24 says. After he drove them out, men out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. As if the kicking out from the garden was enough, God placed an angel in front gate with a sword of flame, moving back and forth, that there was no way to re-enter the garden. There's no possibility, no way to go back. They desired to go back. They wanted to go back to that garden. Why? Because it's harsh. The cold reality awaits for them. If they have to sweat, it's a harsh reality. It would be a paradise that they want to go back. But God put a stop. No, you cannot come back. Now, how is that? God's grace. Here's a stunning, almost unimaginable reality of prophetic foreshadowing of Christ and the restoration and access to God. This is what God is doing. Hey, I'm going to foretell you that I am going to send my Son, and through him, the second Adam, all things will be reversed. All these things that is done, hey, you wait for my offer of second Adam. The first Adam had failed, but through the second Adam, Jesus, through obedience that the first Adam had failed, all this will be reversed. Let me show you three things. Number one, first Adam and the second Adam. Adam's disobedience, sin, and death entered the world, and humanity, they were expelled from this paradise. But second Adam, Jesus, restored what Adam had failed, lost through perfect obedience, and brought righteousness to humanity. And then there's this second thing, the sword of judgment and the cross. It's a two different thing. God blocked the path to paradise by placing an angel and placing this sword. Guess what? Jesus received this judgment of God on himself. God said, hey, you cannot no longer come to me. And Jesus, he put on himself God's judgment, God's anger on himself on our behalf, so that the judgment is withdrawn. The flaming sword is gone, and thereby the gates are now reopened that we can have access back to God. And then number three, it was banned. The way was no more. But Jesus, there's a new and living way offered to us. Remember the tearing of the temple curtains from top to bottom? It was just torn apart at the moment Jesus sacrificed and died on the cross. It symbolized that the ban that began from the very beginning, that banning that we cannot re-enter the promised the Garden of Eden, is gone. It was torn apart that we now have an access to the throne of God through the work of Jesus Christ. What was lost in the paradise? All will be restored. Revelation 22 gives us the description of how Eden will be restored at the final consummation. This is what it says. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I have another picture here. What was lost The picture in your left, in the garden, everything was lost. But in the picture on your right, everything is restored. The fruit, the tree of life that was lost in Genesis, is restored by Lord Jesus in the end of Revelation. The banned are prohibited. Tree of life reappears. Believers will be able to re-enter the kingdom of God and in presence of God through Jesus Christ. So as a conclusion, you and I were so accustomed to this cause and effect. Oh, they have done wrong, therefore this is a punishment. We are not accustomed to understand the bigger reality that God wants to provide, grace. There's far more to it. In God's infinite wisdom and abounding love, he bestows grace even through punishment. God does not operate in cause and effect. Yes, God responds and chooses to work his judging and punishing. But God has another dimension, the grace of God. God bestows unmerited and undeserved blessings to us. We're disqualified. We don't deserve to earn what God has to offer. But in God's grace, it goes beyond our thinking. God's grace is beyond the recipient's performance. It is not caused by us, but by God's character and God's nature, not a reaction to what we do or lack in our life. Our faith is not cause for God to work. Our faith is simply an instrument or pipeline to receive God's grace in our life. Scripture, therefore, repeatedly breaks the input and output logic. There's more. There's far more than cause and effect. There is grace that we don't deserve. There's grace that is surprising to us. Grace, even through punishment. God is bigger than we would label or understand. God is wiser than we would classify. Even when we think we deserve punishment, God can still provide his richest grace. Even when you can't expect or hope anything more, God is, in his grace and mercy, can provide more than what we can expect. You may think that your reality, what you go through, is a harsh punishment, that God is angry with you, that there is no good thing that I can expect from God. Think again. God is more than cause and effect. He is far more than input and output. God is bigger than we think. He provides his grace. In Christ, the punishment is not an isolated account, not a final outcome. For God gives his grace even through punishments. When you go through some harsh difficulties in your life, when you think that God is angry with you and there's no good things happening in my life, remember this again, in Christ, no matter how harsh or how brutal your situation may seem, God's grace never stops, never stops. So please, repeat after me this. God offers grace even when it seems to have stopped. Shall we? God offers grace even when it seems to have stopped. You and I, we can look at it, hey, maybe God stopped to love me. God isn't hearing my prayers anymore. God is not there for me anymore. God may be angry at me for what I've done. No, God has abundant room to provide his grace that we need in our life. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful truth that we fail to understand and we fail to see. We are so accustomed to only look at cause and effect, input and output. We have wronged, therefore God is angry at me. No more blessings, no more grace, no more love. What a wonderful God we serve in Christ. God is able to bring the richest grace that we need in our life. So help us to see bigger God who goes beyond our limitations. Help us to understand and believe and put our trust in God who is with us and for us and working around our situation. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.